Story God Pod, couple weeks left. Here we are. Story God Pod, we've been tracking along the Story of God series, just asking some follow-up questions, wanting to be a resource for the Norton campus, just to kind of keep having the dialogue, maybe some, hopefully, some things that maybe were floating around in your brain on Sunday for us to keep dialoguing around with. The Bible, do you like it?
I'm still trying to get over the fact you just said Story of God Pod, like, we only have a couple weeks left. I'm like, that's
well, then we
that's
kind of
crazy.
Then we just got to rename it.
Well, yeah, but...
Which I have no ideas for.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still trying to just get past that, because we've been doing this for Story of God. Do I like the Bible? Yeah, I like the Bible. Yeah.
What's your favorite color of the Bible? If you had to pick one color.
Favorite color of the Bible? I'm trying to think, is there a significant color throughout Scripture?
Yeah.
Is it purple?
Yeah, it'd be red. Oh, in the Bible, yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to think through the Bible. Yeah.
Yeah, purple's in there.
You know, people are listening to this right now. Like, I think we got to remind ourselves of that.
That's your life. All right, you preached on the Bible this week. No easy task.
Yeah.
It's summertime. If they're here, they're like, listen. You preached the Bible this week, and what's fun about, I love this about our campus, is we have generations here. Mm. There's, and this is true for any healthy church.
Yeah.
Generations of spiritual maturity, ages of generations. So you have everybody who's like, I've been reading the Bible since I was in the womb. And then you have people that are like, what's a testament? Mm-hmm. You know, and I love, like, I'm with guys all the time that almost like secretly will be like we'll leave a group. Like, I do a men's group on Thursday, come hang out. And someone might be like, hey, I don't know a lot of it. And it's funny because I'm like, if everybody could hear each other, be like, we're all figuring this out.
Yeah.
You know, I think we always assume that everyone else is like a Bible scholar. And I just love the fact we have the whole breadth and depth and width of understanding of the Bible, experience of the Bible, stuff like that. What would you say? You studied for this week and even in your own life. What would you say to someone who's like, okay, the Bible, cool. Ethan preached about it. He said, go read it. Open it up and I just do the magic flip, you know?
Yeah,
magic, like, Holy Spirit led flip. And we landed in Philemon.
Yeah, that'd be a place to land.
That's on the second half, so that's newer.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Onesimus. He's good. And what is going on? You know, so we can feel that way a lot.
Yeah.
What would you say to someone who opens the Bible and is like, I don't know, I don't really want to read this when I open it. I have good intention, but I open it, I don't know what's going on. I don't feel motivated after a week of trying. I'm like, I'll just listen to the Story of God Pod.
Figure out their favorite color on the Bible.
What would you say to someone?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's lots of things that come to my brain, but like, one, it's kind of like any discipline that you do. Yeah. There has to be, you got to work it, and then it works. You know, like, there's something to, the more comfortable I get with it, the more it will feel natural to me. I'll start to enjoy it. I think of that with exercise. The more I'm out walking, the more I enjoy walking, or the more whatever. You're eating healthy. You're like, oh, this is actually, you know what I'm craving right now is whatever it is, chia seeds. I don't know. I've never craved chia seeds. But you're like, you start developing a taste for it, a palate for it. You're like, oh, man, this is good. But and then there's different seasons with it, too, that I think come where you're like, it feels blander or drier.
Yeah, you feel like the discipline more than the...
It feels
that's
like...
That's true for anything.
Yeah. But I think, too, it matters where you start. Like, I think sometimes we flip it open and God, it's not like God never uses that, but it's not meant to be read like that. The authors didn't, like, put it together and go, let's just put random things in here and just see what happens. And it's that crazy uncle thing where you're like, we can treat it like that. Yeah. We can think of it like that, and then we treat it like that and read it like that. And you're like, well, it's not meant to be read that. Like, no wonder it looks crazy to you or it looks confusing.
I met with a guy who was like kind of stepping into faith, really hungry.
Yeah.
I met them. He's like, I read through all of Genesis yesterday, like brand new.
Oh,
and you're like,
gosh.
It's probably a wild ride, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know? It's like, all right.
But there's something to that, too, where you're like,
you just do it.
You then get the whole story. It's like sometimes we do it chapter by chapter, which I think is appropriate at times, but like then you, it's like watching a movie in 10-minute segments, and you're like, where were we at again? Yeah. Or how do we?
And you know, can I be honest? I grew up in church, and I remember you saying that, like, segments. For some of us, will be like, yeah, no duh. For others of us, be like, oh, that's helpful. I grew up in church, and I remember I was in high school, and I talked to my youth pastor. I'm like, can you help me understand where this is at in the timeline? Mm. That, like, when you read the Old Testament, there's, like, it's organized by genre,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so, like, you read through the history of, like, Genesis through, like, Chronicles, and you're like, there's kind of, like, that's more or less a story.
Yep.
But then when you get into the prophets, those are, like, these are all happening within that story.
Yep.
And the poetry happening within that. And it just helped me, like, because I, like, read the story, and then you get in Isaiah, and I'm like, when is this happening? You know, it's like you feel like you're watching, like, a Christopher Nolan movie. You're like, when is this going on? And it was just helpful to be like, here's the story, that these are almost like writings that happen inside that story. And you're like, okay. And as silly as it sounds, it was just really helpful for me to get the lay of that, because it feels exactly like you said, like 10-minute sections, and you're just jumping to whole culture. And you're like, where am I at here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's too something to, like, where do you start? Like,
yeah. What do you usually encourage people when they're starting?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, my brain goes John or James. Like, I don't mm-hmm. know why. Like, John, just one of the Gospels. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Jesus is the main character. Let's get our eyes on him.
Yeah.
Try not to leave that too far. Like, just keep going back to the Gospels. James is just so helpful in the way it practically walks it through and stuff like that.
The practicality of James, you get in like, beautiful letters, Ephesians and stuff, but sometimes when you're in a group, you're like, all right. You're like, what do you guys think? You're like, that's a lot. But there's something very tangible about James that's just helpful when you're getting into it. Yeah.
Would you have any other ones?
I would say, God. I think there's something, as Christians, it's probably good just to spend a lot of time in the Gospels.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we worship Jesus,
mm-hmm.
so I want to be in there as much as I can. And it is... The end of John, it says many other things Jesus did, and if it was to fill all the books. Like, I remember that verse, like, I didn't see it until later, and I was like, has this always been here? This is a beautiful verse. And so sometimes you can feel that. You're reading back through, and you're like, has this little parable always been here?
Yeah.
It hits you in a new way. I think the Gospels, I love the Psalms a lot. You know, I mean, I think there's, you know, poet. Where do you struggle the most reading the Bible? Where are you like... Here we go. Mm-hmm. What's the hardest? Mm-hmm. Just, and sometimes those things hit you in different ways, but just
yeah. Where I'm grinding through it is like the back half of Exodus. Like, I love Genesis. I love getting there. I love getting to Exodus and hearing the God's people, Moses story there of Egypt getting out, and like there's so much narrative, and then it goes, hey, let's walk you through step by step of how to build a tabernacle, for instance, and how we're going to act. And there's a reason it's all
awesome.
In there. But we were talking about it. You love it. I'm like, I don't know.
The architect or the artist, Bezalel, was the first person in Scripture to be filled with the Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it all echoes all the colors and trees. Yeah, it's boring to read sometimes, but it echoes the garden. You're like, oh, this is like a portable garden.
Yeah.
I set you up. I was like, what's your favorite? And I was just going to rebuke you. So.
I'm trying to think if there's other, like, Jeremiah can be hard because it's so long, or Isaiah a little bit for me, but I can just get lost in it. Do you have a heart, like, oh man, this is tough?
Sometimes it's really cool history, but sometimes when you get into, like, Kings and Chronicles, you're like, and then this king was rough, you know, and you're like, all right, that
you're
king
like,
was
okay,
bad too. I bet you I know what happens next. Oh, another bad king. Woo!
You know? Yeah, that's true.
But, so that... To this question, what would you say to someone who is like, they approach the Scriptures and you're like, okay, I'm ready to get some life lessons. I'm ready to, and you get into that. You're like, oh, okay, I'm doing my Bible reading plan and now I'm on day three of bad kings in Israel and, you know, the old kingdom. What would you say to someone, or maybe what is like a mindset shift that we have to have approaching the Scriptures that might help us as we encounter those things, or to even make sense of those things?
Mm. Yeah. I'm probably more curious what you have to say to that.
I did not ask you that question before.
Yeah. I think what you just said of we got to know where we're at in the story is going to be so helpful to me making sense of it. I think there's something to, we said this Sunday, but like, which I've never thought about it like this before in, I can't think of, but knowing Moses held the staff of God in his hand above his head, and to just go, okay, this whole thing is about God rescuing his people, And so when I do get confused, or when I am like lost in it, and I'm not sure, or I feel discouraged in it,
mm-hmm.
like there's time, which feels a little odd that I'm reading my Bible and I feel discouraged, or like, wow, man, I'm just disenfranchised by it. Sometimes it's just so messy, or sometimes it just feels so boring, yeah. or sometimes it's so complex I'm having trouble making sense of it. Like talking about bowls of judgment a couple weeks ago, I'm like, I don't know what we're like, okay. And as you're reading it, going, okay, God's rescuing his people, so this must have some direction towards that.
Right.
And I don't know if it's okay to say this. I don't think I have to make sense of everything.
Yeah.
Like some yeah. of it.
Right now.
Yeah.
Like every time I read through it. That I think that's what I was going to say. We approach it. It's easy to see other people. It's hard to see ourselves. We are used to devotionals, especially in our generation. We're used to like scrolling for like, oh, here's a quote. I love this quote. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or no one is like, hey, I'm just picking up a book that is so complex. Like usually you're picking up a book, it's like, I want to be entertained or I want to learn something. And you come to the scripture with those lenses on.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is the 15th king. That was a bad king. What are we doing? Because we're looking for something and the Bible is too vast, beautiful, and complex. Imagine if, and we, you know, we're just being honest because we know this, everybody, we can sit here and pretend like we've never had a struggle with the Bible in our lives and no one can relate to us. And I love what you said, that you're like, this, I don't have to make sense of everything right now. Like that's why we have our entire lives to follow Jesus. That's why we have church history of people who wrestle with this. That's why we have the church now to wrestle with this, because we're doing it together. But, there's something to, what if God just gave us just a giant book of practical tweets? Like, what if the entire Bible was just Proverbs? You know what I mean? You're like, okay, got it. But there's something about the, like, I got to dive into the story, and I didn't like that. And that, it's not to say we're not talking about all the beautiful things Jesus taught that have shaped society for the last 2,000 years. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, love your enemy and stand up for the little man didn't come from nothing, came from Christ, you know? Yeah. And so there's so much that is just very easy to absorb and beautiful. But in the greater narrative, the fact that it's dense and complex and historical, and things that might not be beautiful to us might be really beautiful to a different culture, and we can understand Christ. And like all of that is like, yeah, I'm glad he didn't give us a book of jokes and quotes to be like, here, this all help.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, it feels almost too vanilla or something. Like, I don't know.
That's not how life is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, in the Psalms, the psalmist... it's so fun. We always avoid it. In the Psalm, there's a psalm where they are captured by their enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Israelites, like, rebelled against God, did not listen, and they got, like, taken over. And so now they're like, I forget what number, it's 79, Jonathan would know, he's a smart one, where they're like, we don't even want to sing our songs. You know, they're like, by the rivers of Babylon. And there's a line in there about dashing their enemies' babies upon rocks. And you're like, let's edit that out of there.
I've never prayed that one before. You know, like.
But can you imagine if I'm reading the scriptures and Jesus is teaching me to love my enemy, and he's teaching me to pray for those that persecute you, and I am a Christian who, at different spaces and times throughout the world, are being majorly oppressed. And in my scriptures is a, this, it's not a, he's not saying, go find your enemy's babies. But what the author is expressing is exactly what you're feeling.
Yeah.
You're like, oh,
yeah,
that's in there. Like this is like you talked about Sunday. Divinely inspired, human written. You know what I mean? It feels like, why did God put that in there? But you're like, something about that raw emotion, that human experience. You know, there's something in there that
just resonates with our hearts.
Yeah, jokes and
so
quotes,
real.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't know what made me think of this, but I remember the first Bible study I was in. We were reading it. I was maybe in early high school, middle school. We read Psalm 23.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's Psalm 23? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, the Lord is my shepherd. And the next line is, I shall not want. And I remember I was like, wow, God spoke to me. And so I came to that group time and we're talking about it. We're like, hey guys, what'd you think of the Psalm 23? And I said, guys, don't you resonate with the first line of it? Like, the Lord's my shepherd. Like, he's God, and I shall not want. Like, I don't want him all the time. And I'm like, so they did exactly what you did. And I'm like, there's times where I just don't want God. And I'm going on about how he spoke to me. And they're like, I don't think that's what it means. And I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, I think it means you won't be lacking anything. Like, you won't want anything else but him. Like, the complete opposite of what I thought. And I just remember thinking, well, one, I feel a little foolish in this. But two, it's like, there's something so good when we come together and read. Yeah. Like, it's not just this devotional thing that, I mean, do that. Like, that's really good for you.
Yeah.
But there's something good, too, when you're doing it together in community, like, that helps you make sense of the Spirit of God's in you, as in me, that we're trying to make sense of it together. I wonder this, like...
You're asking the questions now.
I want to flip it, but...
Usually we have Dan here to just...
He just does what he wants.
Gary and I recorded a podcast last week, and I said, we're not going to put that out. I'm like, I'm not sure I should have believed what I said then. So we didn't do it.
If you had to, there's people that sometimes it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. Like, right. We elevate the Bible to this thing that it wasn't supposed to be maybe elevated in. How do you, like, watch in your own life, I don't know, maybe speak to others that elevate the Bible maybe in an unhealthy way where we shouldn't have it elevated?
Yeah.
Where it can be an almost idolized or worshipped or something like that, part of the Godhead.
And that's just saying it, like, walking on thin ice a little bit.
Yeah.
That don't be misunderstood. We have a very high view of the Bible. We are a theologically conservative church.
Yeah.
We believe the Bible is the inerrant, inspired word of God. You know, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of who we're talking to is, you know, you talk to folks that are like, I don't know what to do with this. I'm new to this. And so we're just being real about that.
Mm-hmm.
The other side is there can be this, like, the Bible, nothing but the Bible. The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's this flat thing. And I think sometimes, because the Pharisees in the Bible knew the law more than anybody else.
Yeah.
But they missed Christ. Like Jesus said, you said, son, you study the Bible and you miss me. And so I love look at this. Look at this. This is Ethan Taylor notes on Sunday. Look at this. I don't think he takes notes when I preach, but that's fine.
I do my best. I'm trying to keep up, man. My hand's burning.
This is a Dan. Well, this is Ethan quoting Dan, but
most of it, actually.
That's usually all we're doing.
Yeah.
Listen to God, look for Jesus, follow the Spirit.
Yeah.
When you're reading the script, I love that. Like, when you're blazing through the Old Testament, when you're reading something, you're like, I've read the Gospels 1,000 times. I know what happens. He comes out of the grave. And we can have, but that, listen to God, look for Jesus, follow the Spirit.
Yeah.
And when we take out the follow the Spirit piece, the Bible can become, we've seen it used for all kinds of things, because it can become a weapon. I heard someone say the question isn't what the Bible says, but it's what the Bible means that we wrestle with. You know what I mean? So to say, well, the Bible says it, like, well, the Bible says dash babies upon rocks, that's not what it is meaning.
So that's
where all the tension comes in, with different streams and different beliefs. The Bible word be different hermeneutic. You said that right. Hermeneutic, like the way we interpret it, all that stuff. So I think the caution is the Bible is not a abstract rule book that fell from heaven that if you follow it, you'll get to the right place. You like hearing something over there?
Like a little buzzing, or
like there's like an animal or something.
There might be.
There's a bunch of this is a raccoon comes out. I saw you looking like, what do you hear over there? But I think when we separate the Bible, when we're not listening to the heart of God, looking for the person of Christ, and following the Spirit, the Bible can become an object that we can use to do what we want to do with it. And people do this all the time. You know what I mean? Like, somehow the Bible is going to make me super wealthy, or somehow the Bible is like, it's okay for me to own you and treat you this way. Mm-hmm. The Bible says this is fine, because it becomes an object and not something that is the heart of God. And so I think those things help, the following God, looking for Jesus, following Spirit.
You just said that, and I was chatting with somebody recently who was just totally hurt and distraught, damaged, because somebody used the Bible against them in a very cruel way. And I'm like, it's crazy to me I want to be, what you said, I think, so true. We're theologically conservative, have a high view of the Bible, because Jesus had a high view of the Bible. But if you miss it, if you miss that it's all about Jesus, yeah, and that the Holy Spirit's going to help us make sense of this and guide us and point us back to Jesus all the time. That's what mm-hmm. he does. And then it turns into this weapon that's you use in your hand. And
yeah. Which yeah, is, Hebrews talks about it being a sword, mm-hmm. which is using, like, you know, because there is an element to where, this is, people are complex, scripture is complex, all this isn't just a flat wooden 1 + 1 = 2, you know what I mean, to some extent, to where there are also times, I don't know who you're talking to, what's the example, but we've all experienced those things, or have talked to people that have experienced those things, where the Bible is just used as like a weapon, or... yeah, it's not let the Spirit of God, the person of Christ, so it becomes damaging. At the same time, the Word of God, wielded by the people of God through the power of the Spirit of God, there is a healthy Christ exalting, I don't know what the right word is.
Should cut a hole in culture, it, you know? Like,
yeah, there are things that you're like, I didn't like that. You're like, yep. You know, like yeah. Jesus said, die to yourself, or yeah. like
I didn't come to bring a peace but a sword.
Yeah, you know, like, because there is, like, he wasn't a hippie, just like everybody hang out. And so there is that. And so I think sometimes we can, in our own pride or in our own arrogance, be like, yeah, that's what I'm doing. You're like, ah, let the Spirit do that work. Mm. You know what I mean? That's the Spirit's job to convict. It's the Bible's word to reveal. Billy Graham had a good quote that I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was like, our job to love, Spirit's job to convict, and God's job to judge. It was something to that effect. Look it up, Billy Graham. You would have loved him. But I think that just gives us some guides. You know what I mean? And yeah, I think there's something to check in our own heart when we, for some of us, we can lean on the, I don't understand the Bible. I don't know. I'm just going to stay away from it. And on the other side, we can like, oh, I know how to use this thing. And you're like, whoa. You know, and there's a humility, I think, that comes with reading it.
To bring it back to Marvel Cinematic Universe, as we normally try to do
around
here.
You know that I hate Marvel.
I know you do, yeah, but okay. That's why I'm going to bring it.
If you're watching, you're like, I don't... Yep.
When Spider-Man gets his powers, Uncle Ben says to him, you know this line.
Okay.
Because this is classic.
Spider-Man's Marvel?
Yeah, Spider-Man's Marvel.
All right.
With great power...
Comes great responsibility.
Comes great responsibility. Yeah.
Yep.
It applies. I wonder this. I had somebody ask me this, and so I wonder if we could kick it around for a little bit. Like resources, if there's things that's helpful when you study the Bible.
Yeah.
And then two, they asked me, am I okay with this translation? And they named a great translation that I'm like, yeah, that's a great translation. I wonder if we could just talk about like some of the translations, what's helpful, where each one is. So, I'll start with the resources. How's that? Because I really just want to make sure I say this one
before
you do.
He just asked his own question.
The Bible Project. If you've not heard of the Bible Project, you're welcome. Go check that out.
That's my answer.
Videos on each one of the...
Yeah, that's always my first stop with people. Yeah.
Every time I'm getting ready to read a book of the Bible, I'm watching that video first, get a clear picture in an animated way on YouTube, and then...
Whenever... that's always a recommendation I make to people. They have a lot of resources, but at minimum, if you're like, okay, like when you're doing a Bible reading plan, you're like, okay, I'm entering Jeremiah. They will have an 8-minute video that's like the book of Jeremiah. It's well done. They don't major on the minors. You know what I mean? Like when you get into all kinds of stuff, there's all kinds of different takes. That's not their view is to help you see Christ and to help you understand like the context, the big picture. And so, I'm with you. That's if you haven't heard the Bible Project, it's a phenomenal tool, especially those videos on YouTube that are overviews of the 66 books of the Bible. Yeah. Just to be like, okay. Cause we know how it is. You go somewhere, you're like, when you're traveling, you're like, where, how did I get over? But if you could just and be like, oh, it's over there. And you came from here. You're like, okay.
Yeah,
and
that's what zoom out of your phone for a second and get, there we are.
And that's what they do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's huge. Yeah.
Any other resources?
I think I heard this before. I had a friend get this for me. It's not expensive at all. The ESV Study Bible is one of the best, like, if you're like, I just want, like, some stuff, is one of the best, like, one volume. Here is commentary on what you're reading, some thoughts. Like, that one is great. There is one called the NIV Cultural Background Study Bible. Mm. And these are like different levels of involvement. If you're someone who's like, I want to know what's going on, mm-hmm. like in the world and the culture, why was that a big deal? That's like a one volume, the NIV cultural background. That one's cool because it's kind of like, hey, when Jesus said this, this was significant because this. And you're like, oh, I didn't know that because I'm not a Jew 2,000 years ago. And so that's helpful. Yeah, Bible Project is always one. Story of God Pod is probably
Story of God.
It's the first place. D. Gregory.
there's a great... Have you come across Got Questions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great resource.
Yeah.
Yep.
You just go and type in a question about the Bible.
Yeah, there is... I think there's always going to be maybe different, like, hey, we might view baptism this or sure. view this end time thing different. But I think those trusted voices that have a high view of Scripture and those things are helpful. There is a reading plan called The Bible Recap by Tara Lee Cobble.
Yeah.
That is a lot of people have gone through. She has both a podcast and you can just buy the book, which is kind of a transcript of the podcast.
Yep.
And what's great about that is you do the reading plan, so you might read four chapters, and she's great at being like, here's what just happened. You know what I mean? So you read through judgment. You're like, all right, well.
what just happened was judgment.
What a good day. And so she does a real good job at summing up that. So you're like, okay, great. Because we all like have that friend who knows more. And they're like, you're like, what's going on? Like, this is what's happening. You're like, okay. It's like Garrett with Lord of the Rings. You know, if you're like, Garrett,
it's true.
In Lord of the Rings, what's happening here is like, this is why that's a big deal. You're like, oh. So I think that everything from if you're like just getting into it, the Bible recap is a great tool, and you can skip around to whatever you read, find the chapters on Bible Recap. If you're like, I want something a little bit deeper, I think the ESV Study Bible, cultural backgrounds are great. I think just a good study Bible in general is helpful. I'll keep thinking of some as we sit here.
Any translations that you'd recommend, steer away from, or, hey, this is what this one's trying to do versus what that one's trying to do?
There's probably a good, and some people might be like, oh, duh, I know that. And some people are like, I don't know. And there is different people who are like, don't do that translation,
sure,
do this.
Yeah.
The point of translation is in the ancient Greek and Hebrew, it's not one-to-one.
Yep.
For like, here's how you said Nike tennis shoes in Greek. You know, like, so you're either word for word or thought for thought. And so that's kind of, there's certain translations that are more word for word. And so they might read a little clunkier. So
like ESV.
Yes.
NASB.
Like the NASB is word for word. Mm-hmm. So, it might say, it might just read a little clunkier, but it's basically here. And so a lot of us are like, oh, that's a better translation, which it's good for certain things. And then the thought for thought, we might be like, well, that's watered down, but not necessarily. I heard someone use this example once, like baby powder in orange juice powder. So, like, orange juice powder makes orange juice.
Okay.
Baby powder, word for word, like, does that make babies? You're like, no, it doesn't. The thought is, it's for healing. So maybe we'll use the thought that they're going for.
Okay.
You see what I mean? So
I gotcha.
Word for word doesn't necessarily mean that's a better translation. There's different ways of translating it. So I think what a lot of people would say is sometimes what's best is, especially when it's like a hard passage, or you're like, what is it saying? Read a couple different ones. Because they're trying to do different things. And so the NLT is where I have a family member who was getting in the Bible. They had Old King James. And they're like, Bible's hard, man. And for $6 on Amazon, I sent them a NLT. And they're like, oh. Because it just, you're like, okay.
Yep.
It's more on the thought for thought side. Whereas when you're getting into like harder, you're like, maybe I want to look at a couple like ESV, NASB to get a little bit of a clearer. Yeah.
And you can Google like Bible translations and see like a whole graph. I'm like,
Bible Gateway is like my the graph of like
the
where
graph
stuff is.
Like where word for word versus thought for thought.
NIV, I have the Bible I have at home that I use is CSB. It's pretty close to the middle.
Okay,
it's close to NIV, and I just got that. I had NIV for 10 years, and because I'm like, I kind of want to be in the middle where most people are reading. Most translations are kind of close to that. So
yeah,
I think those are the more the merrier. That's the deepest thing I've said all day. Try to think of more. We're gonna hang up, but I'm gonna be like, man, there's so many good resources. Hang up. So if we're on a call. Yeah. The Bible.
You ever in a conversation and you think you zoned out and you're like, I don't think I zoned out, I just wasn't following where we were going. Like that was what I felt about the orange juice and the baby powder for a minute there. I'm like, maybe I missed something. And
does it make sense now?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think so. As much as it was going to make sense.
I watched him. I watched his eyes glaze over. I just watched him disappear.
We're having a good time.
We're having a good time here in the summer. The Bible. Read it.
Read it.
You asked this question. I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
When you're reading the Bible and you're like, I don't get this. I'm not sure I like this. Hmm. I'm not sure I understand this. Put a question mark or a star. Ask the Lord to help you. Keep going.
Hmm.
I'm not saying ignore it. I'm not saying don't worry about it. But there's almost this, the Psalms talk about like meditating on the word, chewing on it. And there's something about like, this is meant for a whole life.
Yeah.
So something that like, this might not make sense right now. It might make sense later. It might never. The job of the Bible is not to, upon one read, I 100% understand it. I'm good. But to meditate on his word morning and night, you know?
I think we're afraid of road bumps where I'm like,
oh yeah.
Sometimes when I'm driving a 15 pass van, I'm like, we're going to hit this road bump and we're going to hit it hard. You know what I mean? Like, just
I've never driven a 15 pass.
Well, you've never driven it. But it, you know, it's got the hydraulics and stuff. So it just like.
I don't know.
Well, okay. You used baby powder as an illustration just a minute ago.
I would like to clarify the baby powder.
But I'm like, there's something to like, hey, I can sit sometimes and go, oh man, this road bump, I got to figure this out or we got to smooth this out. And
yeah.
You're like, I don't know. Sometimes I just hit it and I'm like, okay. I think what you just said is so good. Put a question mark, put a star, put something. It's like, okay, I'm going to come back to that, or maybe 6 months from now, like I'll be reading through this again and go, oh man, I want to spend some time. But sometimes you can let that thing get you stuck, and God's got like, I want to show you this on the other side of it.
Jen Wilkin, who's a Bible teacher, says tension, we probably undershoot tension as a tool for learning. Hmm. That there's something about tension that if you're reading, you're like, what is that? You're like, let that tension sit there.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. Yeah. All right. I like it. That's it.
That's it.